This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a new series about purification of the soul. In this series, we'll be reflecting on matters concerning the ruh, or the soul, purification of the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man in three different components. The first and most noble of these is the ruh, or the soul. And this is a spirit from the matters of the unseen, the ghaib, and which none has the knowledge of its reality of, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells us this in the Qur'an. He says, they ask you about the ruh. Say, the ruh is from the command of my Lord, and you have not been given knowledge of it except a little. And the second component is that of aql, or intellect and rationale. And it is by this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished man from all other creatures. The aql, the intellect, the rationale. And the third component of man is his body, or badan. So, in total, these three components, the intellect, the ruh, the spirit, and the body of a person, when they are joined together, they create a creature called insan. They form a creature called insan, or man. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also connected the three components of the deen, or the religion of Islam, with these three components of a human being. Let's turn to our guests. Assalamu alaikum. What are the different components of the deen of Islam?
The components of the deen is Islam, Ihsan, and Iman.
Exactly. Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. These are the three components of the deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Iman, or the inward belief system, for the benefit of the intellect. Islam, the outer actions, for the benefit of the body, and Ihsan, or purification of the soul and perfection, for the benefit of the soul. And this can be seen very clearly in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which was related by Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there appeared before us a man whose clothes were exceedingly white, whose hair was exceedingly black, and there were no signs of journey on him, but none of us knew him. Okay, let's just take a side point from here. Why did Umar radiallahu anhu mention these four characteristics here?
Could it be to emphasize the fact that the person who came was not a resident in the town?
So he said that none of us knew him, yeah?
Yeah, and he was not a resident in the town, therefore emphasizing that he's not known to the people.
He's not known to the people, and?
And also, because his clothes were exceedingly white, and his hair was, you know,
exceedingly black.
So he could not be a traveller.
He can't have been a traveller. Yeah. So on the one hand, he's a traveller, because nobody knows him, he must be a traveller, because in those days everybody knew each other in the city. But yet on the other hand, this conflicts.
He has no signs of travelling.
He has no signs of travelling on him. His hair is exceedingly black. His clothes are exceedingly white. None of us knew him, but yet there were no signs of journey on him. So Umar continues, radiallahu anhu, he said that he walked up and sat down in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He put his knees against his knees, and the palms of his hands on the thighs, or on his thighs. And he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me about Islam. أخبرني عن الإسلام. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Islam is to testify that there is none who has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. To testify, which is with the tongue. to testify that none has right to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. To perform the prayers, to do the salah, to establish the prayers, to give the zakah, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to give pilgrimage, or to make pilgrimage to the house if one is able to do so. So, the Prophet ﷺ replied, Sadaqt, you have spoken correctly. Now we were amazed, Omar says. We were amazed at him, that on the one hand he's asking the question, and then he's correcting him. He's saying, yes, you're speaking right. You're speaking correctly. So the man said, tell me about Iman. The Prophet ﷺ went on to say that Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers on the last day, and to believe in Qadr or divine destiny, both the good and the evil thereof. He said, you have spoken correctly. Okay, so now we can notice something. There is a common thing with all the... There's a common denominator between all the things that constitute Islam, and there's a common denominator between all those things which are Iman. What is that?
The things related to Islam?
Islam,
outer,
yes.
Outer actions.
They're all outer actions.
Outer
actions. Okay, although the Shahad, of course, all of them, they are connected to certain inward actions, but the essence of them are all outer actions. The testimony on the tongue. Okay, no one can be Muslim without that. The prayer, the zakah, the fasting, and the hajj. So these are outer things. What about Iman?
It's an inner beliefs.
Inner beliefs. So we can see, believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, Qadr, predestiny, the good, the bad thereof, and the last day. So this is Islam and Iman. Then the person asked about Ihsan. أخبرني عن الإحسان. Tell me about Ihsan. The Prophet ﷺ replied. He said, it is to worship Allah as if you see Him. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah as though you see Him. And if you don't see Him, then knowing that He truly sees you. He then went on to ask other questions, such as, tell me about the hour. The Prophet ﷺ replied, the one questioned about it knows no better than the questioner. What's he asking about here?
He's asking about the hour.
What about the hour?
The knowledge of it is only with Allah.
The knowledge of what about the hour?
Of the time.
The time of the hour. What's the hour? What's the hour?
Yawm al-Qiyamah.
So here Jibreel is coming, he's asking, tell me about the hour. In other words, and the Prophet ﷺ knew what he meant, when will the day of judgment be? What did the Prophet ﷺ said? The one questioned about it, who's the one questioned? The Prophet ﷺ knows no more than the one who is questioning. Who's that?
Jibreel.
So, and this is teaching a very important principle. Nobody knows when the day of judgment is. Not even the Prophet ﷺ. He said, then tell me about its signs. He said that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see barefoot, naked, destitute shepherds competing in constructing lofty buildings. Then the man left, and I stayed for a short time. Umar radiallahu anhu says this. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Umar, atadri man is-sa'il? O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ Allah, I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, that was Jibreel who came to teach you your deen, your religion. So from this, what can we see? We can see that Islam, or the deen, the religion, has three components. What are they?
Islam,
Iman,
Ihsan.
Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Islam, as we can see, is linked here with the outer actions. Iman with the inner beliefs, and Ihsan with perfecting. Worshipping Allah as if you see Him. And if you don't see Him, then you worship Allah, knowing that He truly sees you. And as a side point, if Islam and Iman are mentioned individually, then each encompasses the meaning of the other. This is because one can't have Iman without Islam, and neither can you have Islam without Iman. So you mention just the word Islam by itself, then it also encompasses the belief system. You mention the word Iman by itself, then it also encompasses the outer actions. But when mentioned together, such as in this hadith of Jibreel, then Islam is manifest on the outer actions, while Iman is manifest by one's belief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made Iman, or the inward belief system, for the benefit of the intellect. He made Islam, the outer actions, for the benefit of the body. And He made Ihsan, purification and perfection, for the benefit of the soul. Now, if somebody goes to the hospital, if somebody gets ill, where does he go? Hospital. He knows exactly which number to dial. In some countries it's 999, in some countries it's 112.
Instructions.
Everybody knows if there is a defect, a major defect with the body, somebody breaks his arm, somebody gets run over by a car, somebody has an asthma attack, everybody knows what to do. You take the person to the hospital or you call a doctor. This is to do with the body. And we said that insan is made of three components: body, soul and intellect. Why is it that we know exactly what to do when we have diseases of our body and pains in the body, if you like, but we don't know what to do when we have diseases of the heart and soul? And this is a big problem among the ummah. If it is very important to pay emphasis to all these three components of a human being: the intellect, the body and the soul. And if someone pays more attention to one of these three components at the expense of the other two, then he'll not be balanced. He won't be holistic in his approach to looking after his deen. And this is why you find some people taking care only of their intellects and delving deeply into the Islamic creed and belief system. And this is a good thing. But they ignore the aspect of purification of their souls. In the same way, others, they delve deeply into purifying their souls, or they think they are, but they ignore the Islamic belief system. And further others, they perform acts of worship with their bodies while their hearts are devoid of any concentration or humility towards Allah. Now this group have left out the aspect of purification of the soul. All of them are deficient in their religion. Now this series is primarily concerned with the first and perhaps most important component of man, the ruh or the soul. So hence we will be talking or concerned most about the purification of the soul, and with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith called ihsan or perfection. And we'll talk about that more after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Many people trying to get together, but all their efforts were in vain because of ignoring or turning away from this great foundation. We see many people coming to the way of truth, following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but later on, they get off track. What is the reason behind that? Unity is a result, it's not a cover-up. We have to be united from inside. And Allah made this clear in the Quran when He said, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
We said that this series is about primarily about the most important component, if you like, of man, or the ruh and the soul. And so we'll be concerned with purifying the soul and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Jibreel that we mentioned before the break, what he called ihsan. Now, before we go on to what is meant by ihsan, let's take a recap on the three components of a man.
The first one was Islam.
Of a man.
Of a man is the body.
Is the body?
The ruh.
The soul.
And the intellect.
And the intellect. Now tell me, Lutfi, about how is the intellect connected to one of the components of Islam?
The intellect?
The deen. Which one is it connected to?
The intellect is iman.
With iman, yeah. How is it connected? How is it connected?
Because it's like an inner actions, inner beliefs. Yeah.
Yes. And so this is connected with the intellect. The person has to think about these beliefs and believe them, and that comes in the intellect. Yes. And about Islam, for example, what is it connected with regards to the body?
Islam is connected to the badan, to the body,
to the body of the
because
person.
Because Islam is primarily concerned, in essence, with the actions,
the outer
essence, praying. Zakat, Hajj, etc.
Yeah, exactly. So one does those with?
With actions, with the
with
body.
His body. Yeah. And Ihsan?
Ihsan is connected to the soul. So that, you perfect perfect your impurity, you know, remove the impurities and perfect your soul.
Exactly. So, ihsan, so we can see how the deen of Islam is holistic in its approach to deal with a person, with a human being, an insan. Now, what is meant by ihsan, which is what we are primarily concerned with here, or tazkiyatun nufus, purification of the soul, is the ihsan of one's action, or the perfection of one's action. Ihsan literally means perfection, to make something good. This is what ihsan means. Now, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ explaining the pillar of ihsan, that you worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you do not see Him, then He truly sees you. This statement is actually a pillar of how to achieve ihsan. How to achieve ihsan. Because why? Because ihsan is actually when a person makes good his action. Makes his action good. And people differ in the ihsan of making good of their actions. So from ihsan is an obligatory portion, and then there is an ihsan which is a recommended portion. Who can tell me what the obligatory part of ihsan, portion of ihsan that every Muslim must achieve, making good his action?
It would be that, you know, he's sincere in his action.
He has to be sincere in his action, yes.
And according to Sunnah.
And it's got to be according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And we see this in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ Actions are but by intention. And also, we see that we have to do any action according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna, fahuwa rad." Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our way, then it will be rejected. So, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, actions are but by intention, shows that for an action to be accepted, it has to have the right intention. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ Whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, it will be rejected. This hadith shows us very clearly that any action that we do has to be in accordance with whose way?
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the obligatory ihsan. And every single individual, every Muslim has to reach this obligatory level of ihsan. As for the extra ihsan, or the mustahab, or recommended level of ihsan, then this is to perform one's actions in the station of muraqabah, being watched, or in the station of mushahada. And we'll talk about this more. Muraqabah is the first stage. It's a lower, is lower than mushahada. Mushahada is the highest level of worship that a slave of Allah can reach. And if he reaches this level, then he has reached haqqul yaqeen, the reality of certainty. The reality of certainty. And certainty is of three levels. We have Aynul Yaqeen. Or before that, we have Ilmul Yaqeen. Knowledge, certainty which is of knowledge, if you like. And then a higher level is what? Aynul Yaqeen. Knowledge of the eye, if you like. Certainty with the eye. And then the highest level is Haqqul Yaqeen. A reality in certainty. What's the three differences? Let's have a look at an example. If a person, he hears about a special fruit that he can't get in his country. Okay, he just hears about it. He has ilmul yaqeen, he has knowledge of the certainty of this fruit. If somebody truthful comes to him and tells him about it. But then he goes to that country and he sees this fruit. What does he have? Aynul yaqeen. He gets to see this. And so he has the certainty of the eye. Okay, of the eye, of seeing. And then he tastes this fruit. He has haqqul yaqeen. He has encompassed certainty, if you like, in a certain way. So muraqabah is mentioned, and this is to be, muraqabah is the lower of the two levels. This is to worship Allah, knowing that He is watching you. This is mentioned in the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. If you do not see him, then he surely sees you. If you do not see him, then you worship him as if you see, knowing that he surely sees you. So when a person enters the salah, when he begins praying, he worships Allah knowing that Allah is watching him. And this is the meaning of muraqabah, that a person worships Allah knowing and feeling that Allah is continually watching over him. And the more that one has this perception that Allah is watching him, the higher his level of ihsan. But this is the lower of the two levels of mustahab, recommended ihsan. Then you have a higher level than that. And this is the highest level of worship. And this is mushahada, or witnessing. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him. Now of course you don't see Allah. You don't witness Allah himself. Okay? But this witnessing is the effect of Allah's attributes in his creation. So not actually witnessing Allah himself, because the Prophet ﷺ said that you worship Allah as if you see him. So it's clear that you don't actually see Allah. But you worship Allah as if you see him. So it is actually worshipping Allah, knowing the attributes of Allah. So the more that a person's certainty and knowledge of Allah's names and attributes increases, the more he ascribes anything that occurs in the creation of Allah to a name and attribute of Allah. And therefore this station of mushahada is obtained by one who magnifies Allah's names and attributes and then has a great knowledge of them. And for example, he actualizes and realizes that Allah's knowledge encompasses all things and that he sees all things. So based upon this knowledge of Allah's attributes, he tries to uncover, he feels shy to uncover his private parts in seclusion, when nobody else can see him but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in the hadith regarding a person's aura. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah is more deserving of you being shy from him. So one would cover. When somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I uncover my private parts in private, in seclusion? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is more deserving of you being shy from him. Now this is due to the person having reached the level of mushahada, witnessing. Let's have a few more examples of when a person can connect the things that occur in the creation of Allah with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Like the food.
Exactly, when a person's eating, how does he connect?
He connected with the creation of Allah for his animals and God has blessed us.
But which blessing, which names and attributes of Allah do you connect that with?
Ar-Razaq.
Somebody's eating, he remembers Allah, he says Allah is Ar-Razaq. He's the one who sustains, he's the one who provides. Any more examples?
You could say Al-Hakim. The most wise. Because if one examines the creation, the heavens and the earth, universe, he realizes the complexity of it. This can be seen if one studies science-based subject. You can see the complexity of it, that only someone who has great wisdom can create something like this.
So another example could be when a mother's feeding her baby, or she wakes up in the night to feed the baby. The baby's screaming all night, the mother shows mercy. And this reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's mercy is far greater than any human being's mercy. Far greater. So therefore a person remembers the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this stage. Likewise, when we eat, we said that we remember that Allah is the giver of sustenance, or ar-razaq. In the same way, for example, when we see someone committing a sin, what do we remember?
Allah is most forgiving.
Allah is most forgiving, and also at the same time, He is the most severe in punishment. Shadidul Iqab. He's Shadidul Iqab. What about when we hear of somebody being blessed with a newborn son?
Ar-Razzaq.
Al-Muhyi. The one who gives life. When we hear of someone's death, Al-Mumit. The one who gives, who causes death. Yes, what else?
See, the creation of Allah, the heavens, the sun, the moon. And realize Allah is the creator, the one who al-mudabbir and so on.
When the Prophet ﷺ died, you can imagine the effect that it had on the Sahaba. This person who took them, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to take them out of darkness into light. They loved the Prophet ﷺ so much that they would give up anything for the Prophet ﷺ. A woman came once from a battlefield, in one of the battles. She came running. She said, she was told, your father has died. She said, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She carried on. She was told, he's okay. Then she was told, your husband has died. She said, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's okay, so I'm fine. This is the way these people, they love the Prophet ﷺ. Now when the Prophet ﷺ died, people couldn't imagine that the Prophet ﷺ has died. And Umar radiallahu anhu was standing outside the mosque causing a commotion. He said, whoever says that Muhammad ﷺ is dead, then he has lied. I'm going to chop off his head. Okay, because he couldn't imagine that the Prophet ﷺ has died. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we know that he had a higher stage of Iman. He is the highest of this ummah after the Prophet ﷺ in Iman. What did he say? He said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat." Whoever used to worship Muhammad, then let him know that Muhammad ﷺ has died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. And whoever used to worship Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Allah is ever living, He doesn't die. So he connected the calamity of the death of the Prophet ﷺ with one of the attributes of Allah, the names Al-Hayy, the ever living. Inshallah, in the next episode, we'll begin talking about what is purification of the soul, and then we'll go on to speak about how to obtain this noble quality. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم